Joss, we can draw your minds now to the scriptures, to look into the Word of God this morning for instruction and inspiration in life. This morning, I appreciate the Sunday school lesson very much. I do want to greet you in the name of Jesus and ask for an interest in your prayers this morning. The message that I'm going to share this morning was on the plate for a long time. But for some reason, I felt that the Lord was asking me to share that this morning. But it probably relates to the lesson a little closer than what I thought. What I want to talk about is accountability and responsibility. I want you to go with me to the book of Romans, first of all, to the Apostle Paul's writings. Let's look at chapter 14, first of all, verses 10 to 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. Also go with me to chapter 3. I want to read some verses there. Let's look at verses 9 to 19. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together because unprofitable. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their teeth are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The Apostle Paul here is warning that we will all come. There'll be an accountability meeting someday, but there'll be no question, because we will stand before an almighty God. The stark reality is that everyone will stand before God. Every one of us, Christian and non-Christian, will stand before an almighty God to be judged. Every Christian, every non-Christian, we will all face that accountability meeting. Jesus emphatically taught in the scriptures that a day of judgment will be coming, when every person will have to give an account. And for instance, in a context where the Pharisees had spoken evil of Jesus by attributing his miracle to Satan, Jesus condemned them as a brood wiper, who could never say anything good since their hearts were continually evil. He then went on to make the point that people are responsible for their actions and for the words that they speak. Matthew 12:36. I tell you that on the day of judgment, People will give an account for every word that proceeds out of your mouth. That makes it pretty serious. That's what's going to happen at that great accountability meeting with our Lord. Unfortunately, man is a, in our human nature, is a rebel who wants to do his own thing without any or very little accountability for his actions since the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. That has been the case, but a worldwide phenomenon of our day is a defiance of any form of established authority. We see that in the politics as well. We see that in our world today, anti-authority. Whether religious or secular, social or political, this sad reality has colored the beliefs and actions of our present society worldwide without a sense of accountability to a sovereign God. May we be careful that those things and that attitude doesn't rub off on the church, on us as believers. That's why I believe it is very important today that we have accountability with each other. Today, we live in a time when we live in a time when people reject the absolutes and clear teachings of Scripture. Man seeks to make God accountable to him. Man seeks to bring God down on his level and make him accountable for our comforts and pleasures of life. That's the world we live in. May that not be in the church. Thus, people are not only doing what is right in their own eyes, but the prevailing attitude is, do your own thing. Do whatever makes you feel good. You're only accountable to yourself and your own self-fulfillments. But what man doesn't understand and realize today in our society is that they will stand before God someday. May that not be you or I. It's a shift from a God-centered perspective of life to a man-centered perspective. This is all part of man's attempt to dismiss any accountability to God. If any of you looked at the, and I'm not giving this woman right either, but of this woman who went around to the local schools to give a speech. I'm not going to go into her speech, it's a long article. But the third school she was denied. And here's what one high school student spoke of that hurt her speech, that she mentioned God several times in her article. People do not want to retain God in their knowledge. And here's what he says. I recall that you mentioned God more than a few times, and that I quote, Satan, the Bible says that Satan will rule the earth through airwaves. What he doesn't understand is that God will be the ultimate victor. I'll leave it at that. There's a lot in the article, but there were others who accused her of religious things being spoken. We want no knowledge of God today. We want to not want to retain God in our knowledge. The reality is that when men seek to ignore accountability, is we open ourselves up, we're vulnerable to the cold misery of slavery and eventually to the immense of a dictator. Accountability to God and to one another, according to the directives of Scripture, is the foundation for freedom and liberty. But what is true freedom and wherein lies its source? Freedom is not the right to do what I want to do in the flesh. But it means the captivity to exercise the choice, but never so that it's devoid of responsibility or accountability of what we do. Freedom is both the responsibility and the ability by the grace of God to do what is right according to the absolute and righteous standard of truth as given to us by God's holy word. But people in our society today see freedom as the right to abandon accountability to God. When God will be the final victor. And I believe that we're nearer than ever before of that time. It's not freedom as the world sees it today. Accountability is one of the means that God uses to bring about solid growth and maturity in our lives and in the lives of the church. With the freedom to be what God has created us for. But as we have stressed before, the problem is that we live in a society that has become very individualistic. Don't tell me what to do. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. I want no restrictions. The Bible is the foundation to a vibrant church life. If we want a vibrant church life, then we're going to see the seriousness of accountability and responsibility, in taking a responsibility. True freedom is not the ability to do as one pleases, which is a license, but the power by God's grace to do as one ought. But what do we really mean by accountability? I want to look at the meaning of accountability first before I go into the points of my message. I believe that what we mean by accountability is relationships with other Christians, with other brothers and sisters who are trying to stay on that straight and narrow way. It's the purpose of accountability. And we're also going to look at a number of points in the message this morning, that which destroys accountability, effective accountability. But we're going to look at the positive first. It helps us to promote spiritual reality. It helps us to promote honesty. It helps us to promote obedience to God and genuine evaluations of our walk and relationship with God Himself and with others. My love for my brothers and sisters is this. It's a proof of my discipleship with Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that. We are talking about this morning relationships that help believers change by the Spirit of God and the truth of the Word of God through the inward spiritual conviction and faith in God. After all, we are sheep that are prone to go astray. There isn't any of us here this morning that are too big to never fail. We are prone, it's our human nature, to go astray. But we are talking about teaching, we're talking about exhorting and supporting and encouraging one another. That's the kind of accountability that we're talking about this morning. So what is the necessity of accountability and why do we need it? I want to share a number of points in relation to this. I believe that to believe that you can make disciples or develop true maturity in others without some form of accountability is like believing that you can raise children without any kind of discipline. I think the world has proven to us that you can't do that. Even though they think they're still doing it. Or even a run a company without rules, you can't do it. It won't stand, it won't last. But, or like a train. As long as a train is on the tracks, it can do what it's called to do. But if the train gets off the tracks, it's done. It's totally done. Accountability is to the Great Commission what tracks are to the train. So what are some reasons for establishing some form of accountability? I believe this morning that number one is that accountability is an essential part of the Christian life. You believe that this morning? I believe it is. Why? To help to keep us on our tracks. But even more importantly, the prototype for it is the triune Godhead itself, through the members of the Trinity. And I believe this morning that we need to see that as being a very important part. You know, we live in a world of technology, and we have dangers today far beyond that we have had, even though we had dangers as teenagers back in our time. And I remember the days of no cell phones. You got stuck along the road, you walked to the nearest payphone or went to somebody's house. Today we have technology that is very dangerous, and that's why there's efforts being put forth to help put safeguards there. There's a number of scriptures I'd love to take time to read, but I know we don't have time. Philippians 2:5 is one of them. Hebrews 10:5-10. Even Romans 8:34. I'm here in Romans. I'm going to quickly read that one. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, when you think of accountability today, you can hide things from men, and you can hide things from your parents, teenagers. You can hide things from the church. But in that great accountability meeting, when you stand before the judge, nothing will be hidden. Everything's going to be open before God. Everything that you've said, every attitude that you had in your heart will be opened up before God. Should we fear? It should cause us to want to be open to our brotherhood. It should cause us to want to be open to accountability, to accept the help of my brother, and be willing to give help to my brother out of a heart of humility in helping us stay on the tracks. Secondly, I believe what accountability does, it helps to promote biblical controls or checks and balances. It provides the necessary discipline and support needed to see people reach godly goals. While we are all ultimately accountable to God, as stressed, you go back to Romans 14 again, where I had started in, and you look at some of those verses in chapter 14. I don't think I read all of them there. I read 10 and 11. I'm going to read verse 12 yet. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Would you rather make it there safely because of the help of your brothers and sisters? Or would you rather hide things from the church and get there and have to hear those dreadful words out of Matthew 25? Sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me. Into outer darkness forever in eternity. God has given the Word and the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, to control our lives, but accountability to other believers becomes another key instrument to aid in bringing about self-discipline and inner controls. And I believe that in accountability between each other, spiritual life must be at the top of the foundation. Where are you in your devotions? Where are you in your Bible reading? Where are you in your understanding of Scripture? If that foundation isn't there, nothing else is going to work. But that's the start of it. 1 Timothy 2, I'm sorry, looking at the next accountability. Accountability is necessary because, like sheep, we tend to go our own way. We are all self-willed. We want to protect in our own comforts. Just don't get into my comfort zone. Just don't get into my business life. And avoid having to deal with certain issues that are important to becoming obedient Christians, which is one of the goals of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Making disciples means teaching others to obey the Lord, teaching others to walk with the Lord, and also being open ourselves to that. And this becomes very difficult without some measure of accountability. I believe that accountability is part of the means that God uses to demonstrate what we come to next. Fourth place is, I believe that accountability promotes servant-like leadership in keeping with the pastoral mandate to watch over the flock. I add to that, fathers, being the leaders in homes that you should be. To do that, leaders in churches must be the example. Leaders in homes must be the example. I believe that one of the key requirements of a servant leader is faithfulness to the things entrusted to him. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I think that's what I want. Yes. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Accountability will help you do that. Number four. I'm sorry, that's where I'm at. Remember that the train on the tracks is only faithful to its duty as it stays on the tracks. We only can be faithful to our duty as we remain on a straight and narrow way, as we remain on the tracks. Going to number five, I'll leave number four. Going to number five, accountability is protective to both leaders and to the flock. It gives us a sense of protection. It should. The biblical model of church leadership is a collective leadership of elders, which provides a structure for genuine accountability. I say the same thing to the home. A mother and father who are united together and who are accountable to each other. It is very necessary that husbands and wives are accountable to each other. When that is broken down in the home becomes a dysfunctional home. When that is broken down in the church becomes a dysfunctional church. We're going to leave that. I want to now look at just a few scriptures here in the justification for accountability, and to show you that I believe it is biblical. There are numerous New Testament scriptures. Let's turn to these few scriptures, and then we want to look at some dangers that can hinder proper accountability. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That is so important this morning. And in the home as well, that we know each other. And then you can come and we can sit down. And we're not afraid to question each other. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Brings out the importance of why we need that real openness with each other. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of bishop. I'm not sure if that's what I want or not. Yes, 1 Timothy 3, chapters 1 to 5. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be the blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior. Given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not as a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how then, how shall he take care of the church of God? Responsibility. And how do we handle all that responsibility? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 yet. I believe that we need to have that openness that even you as members can come and question, you know, what is the, you know, why are we headed in the direction we are if you don't understand? Can we have that kind of openness? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but filthy lucre, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. This is why accountability is needed. I am accountable to my brethren in the leadership here. I am accountable to you as well. We are accountable to each other. I'm going to move on. I'd like to get over the points of the hindrances to that can be a hindrance. You could look at types of accountability groups in the Bible. You have Paul with Timothy and Titus. You have Paul and Barnabas. You have the home as an illustration, as I mentioned before, and also the local church. Now, I'd like to look at some biblical ways to promote accountability. Number one, the study of the Word should be primary. Part of the time should be spent around a portion of the Word, thinking together about what it means and how it applies to us today. This is some of what makes a productive accountability meeting. Number two, there should be time spent in prayer. This means it will be a time when the team together shares concerns, shares prayer requests, and prays together. Number three, it should be a schedule. Develop a schedule to give guidance to the use of the time with the accountability team. Number four, report. Part of the team's time should be spent sharing how each one is doing. The battles, the victories, the problems, the temptations, etc. If we can't be open up with this kind of thing, the accountability meeting will not be as effective. I want to share just a few warnings yet that can happen and have happened in the past that have destroyed accountability meetings. Number one, we need to be open and honest in our accountability meetings. Now, when we do that, there are some dangers with that. We need to be ready not to protect our own comforts, not to display the attitude that don't touch me, but rather, I want your help to walk this straight and narrow way. But not that we sense, that people sense that we're trying to put protection there around ourselves and don't touch me. Secondly, be patient and understanding. If we're not patient and understanding, you're going to destroy accountability meetings very quickly. Don't come across in a condemning way. Maintain the spirit of acceptance of other people and the struggles they face, because maybe the struggles they face you're not facing, but you might be facing a struggle that they're not facing. Too many times. Well, this goes into my third point. But may they sense, and along with point number two, may they sense the importance that there is patience within us and that they feel accepted. Thirdly, guard your tongue. We know what James says about the tongue, and I don't need to go into all of that this morning. In keeping with the biblical goal, guard against gossip. Too many times that has destroyed accountability meetings is that it got put on the gossip, the Mennonite gossip line. And that has destroyed accountability groups. We need to guard against that because it's sin. To destroy our brother by spreading his news all around and the whole church knows about it. And the whole community knows about it. Guard your tongue against the gossip, against being critical, the critical spirit that tends to crop up from time to time. We become critical of other people. Each person needs to know they can trust you. If you destroy that trust, you've destroyed the accountability meeting, the accountability group. Fourthly, and last of all, if you're not dependable, are faithful, but be faithful and dependable. You can destroy accountability meetings if you stay away and don't show up. Be faithful and dependable in your attendance and in your sharing. And confidentiality is very important. This has been a burden on my heart, and I trust this morning it will help us to see the value of accountability meetings. The importance of accountability meetings. And it is biblical. It is really what we need to avoid the dangers and the pitfalls of the world that we live in. Because Jesus is soon coming. And that great accountability meeting individually will take place. Shall we pray? I thank you, Lord, for your word, the power of your spirit. Dear Jesus, I just pray that in the little bit that's been said this morning, I know that you will meet the need of each heart here. In our small human effort to try to relay to your children this morning the words of truth. Lord, help us to be knit together, bound together, that together we would make it faithfully by staying on that straight and narrow way and by seeing the importance to do what it ever takes, Lord. And God, we just pray that we would all make it there, that we would come to the shores of eternity without the loss of one, that when that day of judgment takes place and we stand before thee, Lord, to give an answer, that all would be under the blood. Bless each one as they go from here. Bless each father, each mother in their homes, that thee would help them to be faithful leaders. Help us to be faithful leaders in the church today. In Jesus' name, amen.